Israel, the Jacob's great grandsons. They were of the tribe of Levi. They were the Levites. They were of the order of the priesthood. We see in the 16th chapter, it says, now Korah, the son of Ishtar, and he goes on about all his parents' names, and I won't bore you with those names, but he says, now Korah, and he was a great-grandson in the same tribe as Moses and Aaron. He was also a great-grandson of Jacob. He said he, Korah's sons, Korah, and I'll get it right here in a minute, Korah, but also Dathan, and another person, Abiram. These were also cousins, but they were of the tribe of Reuben. There was 12 sons, and Levi was one, and Reuben was another. Now, Korah, he was a tribe of Levi, and he didn't like Moses and Aaron ruling the tribe. He says, I'm from the same tribe as you are. I have just as much right to be the leader of this nation of Israel as you do. Matter of fact, I'm older than you are, and I'm of the same tribe, so why can't I be there? Likewise, his cousin, Abiram, and what was the other name? Abiram and Dathan, they were of the tribe of Reuben, which Reuben was the oldest son of Jacob. So they were all great-grandsons, but they had different great-grandfathers. And since Reuben was the oldest of the sons of Jacob, they were supposed to get a double portion of the inheritance. So they said, we've got a claim here that not only are we from the tribe of Reuben, but we're older too, and we think we need to have possession of the leadership. So it was a great rebellion come up against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And you have to understand that here's this tribe of a million people wandering through the wilderness. Moses was appointed by God. Aaron was chosen and appointed by God to lead this tribe. And here's the cousins say, we don't like this. We don't want you to be our boss. They had probably the greatest sin that God despises is the sin of pride. Pride is when you lift yourself up. You say, I don't need anything from anybody. I'm better than you. I don't need God. I have my own self-reliance. And when you have pride in your heart, it causes you to look down on those around you. And inevitably, it causes you to start to worship yourself. And it says that Korah and Dathan and Abiram, they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together, convinced 250 of the important people of the other tribes to come with them. And they said, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation of holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among you. Whereof then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Because this pride that was in the hearts of these three, they began to accuse Moses and Aaron of taking too much authority on themselves. They were forgetting that God had called them. He says, we think we deserve to be in the place of leadership, in this place of honor and glory, instead of you. But because this was a rebellion against Moses, but because Moses was a man of God, he was ordained of God, and he was called of God to lead the people, he could see through, and because of some other things they said, they soon realized that this was not a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, it was a rebellion against God. And Moses tried to explain to them, but they couldn't understand because they had been lifted up with pride. They were envious. So Moses tells Korah, he says, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation. He says, this may not seem very important, but I don't think you realize what you're saying. He says, it seems like a small thing to you. You're taking it for granted that God not only brought you out of Israel, but he has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister them. He is of the tribe of Levi. He says, look what God has done for you. And he says, he has brought thee near to him, and all the brethren, the son of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. You've got everything. It's like the man that wins $10 million in a lottery, and he says, I want some more. We're not standing and seeing the salvation that God has provided for us. Moses couldn't reason with him. Then he called the other two. The other two grandsons, Dathan and Abiram, he called them, and they refused to talk to him. They had set up their own tabernacle, and they refused to talk to him. Says, and they even disputed God. They said that you say you brought us out of Egypt to take us to the land flowing with milk and honey, but in fact, all you done, you took us out of a good place, Egypt, and brought us out here for us to die. And we're afraid if we come to you, you'll do nothing but put our eyes out. That's what kind of person we're trying to leave. All you want to do is be our boss. This pride lifting them up. Now, because God was ready to destroy these people, he had all he could take. He says that, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. They have defiled my name. They have rebelled against me. They have not understood the blessing. They've not appreciated what I've done for them. He says, move away from them. I'm going to take them out. Separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And what did Moses and Aaron do? They fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Now you can see Jesus Christ in the plan of salvation for all the elect. They ask God the same question. He says, will you be wrought from one man's sin? Will you wipe out the whole congregation? And I want you to understand what he says here when Moses prays to God. I want you to look at the term he calls God. He says, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh. He said, mankind is spirit in the flesh. That's what man is described as. We are spirits housed in this body. The next time you go to a funeral, I want you to remember that phrase. He prays to the God that is the God of the spirit in the flesh. That's a good title for man. And then what is he called God? He says he is the God of the spirits in the flesh. But he asked God that, wilt thou destroy this whole congregation for just what a few did? Lord spake unto Moses, and he says, speaking to the congregation, says, get up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Move out of here. Tell the congregation to move out. And Moses rose up and went into Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, he says, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sin. He said, here's your chance to get out. Here's your chance to wash your hands of the sins that these people have caused to come about. He says, leave here. And said, so they got up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and on every side. And said, the two, Dathan and Abiram, came out and stood in the doors of the tent, and their wives and their sons and their little children. Two of the ringleaders, they come out and they stood in defiance against God. Says, we'll stand right here till the cows come home. We'll not bow down. We'll not run away from your threats. Moses said, he tells the congregation, he says, I want you to look at these people standing in the tent. He says, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all the works. This will show that who's the correct leader, though the one that has been appointed to do the works of leading the people. He said, by this you'll know I have not done them on my own. He says, look at these men standing in the door of the tent. He said, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. If they die of a heart attack, if they die of getting run over by a camel, if they die of natural causes, anything like that, then I'll agree that God has not sent. But he says, if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up, and all that appertain to them, all that are connected with them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand these men have provoked the Lord. If something unnatural, if God makes the earth open up and swallow these men up, then I'll tell you that it's because God has been provoked by these people. And it came to pass, as soon as Moses quit talking, it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking, all these words, that the ground clave asunder, and that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained in the Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Now this, you have to understand that here they are in great defiance against God and against God's people. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up Dathan and Abiram alive, plus their families, their tents, all their possessions. They vanished out of the whole congregation. They were no more. And the cry was so terrible that the people, as they saw the earth closing up, the cry of them that went into the earth was so terrible they fled. Lest it would happen to them. And he said, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Those that these three had gone around, the people of renown, had convinced them, follow me. We're going to take over this camp. All 250 of them were consumed as they offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses and told them to have Eleazar go around and gather up the censers. They were holy containers that you take into the tabernacle to carry fire. And he says, make these 250 censers, says, beat them out in flat plates and make them as a covering for the altar, because they're holy and they're consecrated. He said, this is to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he is not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. This is a memorial. This is a reminder. You need to pay attention to what has happened here, because this is supposed to remind you that no one except those approved of the Lord will be to offer sacrifices unto God. And if you do, you'll be just like Korah. Now, we need to understand that God is jealous over his institutions. He's jealous over his churches. And he will not allow them to be invaded. He will not allow them to be distorted. And the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto God, and he will not tolerate it. And he gave them a warning to wake them up, for them to pay attention. And we've seen a lot of warnings in our days. And it seems like we see a lot of warnings the more time goes on. And we need to pay attention to them. We need to wake up as a nation, because God has given us a second chance. Now he said, just as these people had seen the ground open up, they'd seen the friends, the people they had traveled in the wilderness with, they'd seen them swallowed alive underneath the ground. And they had seen the 250 men that were consumed by the fire because they offered an unacceptable offering. And they were consumed. And no more was the earth closed, just buried. Just as soon as it was closed, and the same sins began to be committed again. They didn't pay attention to the warnings of God. It says, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. They just seen all this. God said, this is a warning to you. Remember this. This is something to be remembered. On the morrow, they started to plan again. Every one of them that had remained, they were rebelling against God in the same way. You would have thought when they had seen the consequences, they'd seen the judgment of God on those that had rebelled against God, they would have learned their lesson, but they didn't. said all of them that remained. They surrounded Moses and Aaron, and what did they do? They said, they charged and said, you have killed the people of the Lord. And what you need to understand this day, there's a whole lot of people calling themselves the people of the Lord. And Primitive Baptists is just the same way. But what we need to understand, just because you call yourself the people of the Lord, doesn't mean it. We can say, well, we do everything just exactly right. We follow the book. We dot all of our I's, cross all of our T's. We're undoubtedly the people of the Lord. But what you need to see is these people calling themselves people of the Lord, but they were rebelling against God. They were the farthest thing from it. They were the enemies of the Lord. We need to understand that we need to always consider and read and study and pray that God will lead us away that we might call ourselves the people of God. It takes more than just saying it. But they were accusing Moses of killing the people of the Lord. I don't know why they called him, accused him of doing it. He didn't set the people on fire. He didn't open up the earth. Maybe they were calling Moses a murderer and a killer of their friends because they'd seen Moses pray before. They'd seen him with his uplifted hand, and they'd seen him praying with the sweat of his brow. They'd seen God visibly reach down and bless Moses because of his prayers. And maybe whenever they saw their friends and their relatives and all their tribesmen, they're being swallowed up in the earth and being burned. Maybe they said, all right, Moses, it's time for one of your prayers now. Get down on your knees and save my kin people. And he didn't do it. Maybe that's why they were accusing him of it. But they said he had killed the people of the Lord. It was all his fault. And that's the same way we blame God these days. Is because it's all your fault. You could have stopped it. He says, and it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Moses and Aaron were standing here, and here's this million-man congregation standing around them, ready to strangle them, ready to kill them because they had killed their friends. And what happens? Just as they were threatening Moses and Aaron, the pillar of the cloud that was over the tabernacle of God, it came down, and as a blaze out of the great cloud, there appeared the Shekinah glory of God, the cloud of the light that shines forth, that symbolizes the presence of God. And it's of a God that cannot be seen, but it's certainly His presence can be manifested. And because of this glory that was manifested in this cloud that came down, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces, and saying, get you up from among the congregation that I may consume. They already had their second chance. God says, get out of the way. I'm going to have my way with them now. It says, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein off the altar, and go to the incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Imagine seeing row by row of this million-man congregation. And they were standing there one by one. He saw them start to fall. Imagine standing in the middle of it and seeing from the outside in as the people started falling dead all around. And it was coming closer to you. Imagine what went through their mind. It said Moses and Aaron fell on their knees and they cried out unto God. And then Moses turned to Aaron and he said, take this censer and put in the fire from off the altar and take this incense and run among the people because the plague has begun. Imagine old Aaron. He's 100 years old now. And he's running around and he's getting his censer and getting his fire off the altar. He's putting the incense on it and he runs into the midst of the plague. It says he run in the midst of people. But what he was talking about, he run into the midst of the plague. Says it. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begin among the people. And he put on incense, made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. As soon as the sacrifice was accepted in heaven, the death stopped. Aaron stood there with death on one side, corpses laying down, and life on the other side. He stood in the middle. He stood in the gap with life evermore. And what I want you to see is three things concerning Jesus Christ I want you to see how corrupt we are. I want you to see that even after the first rebellion, there were people were swallowed up in the ground, where people were consumed. That lesson they learned didn't last a day. It shows how sinful we are, that we don't learn. These people had been terrified. They were scared out of their wits. They were running around screaming from the screams they heard when the people fell in the pits. They stood and watched as the earth closed around them into this living grave. It scared them. But the next day, the same thing happened. It shows how sinful we are. Bible says the heart is deceitful among all things, above all things, and desperately wicked. That proves it. Usually when my daddy would come along and say, "Boy, quit doing that and pop me one time." Sometimes it takes 2 times. Most times, the first time I've learned. But when he gets to the serious stuff, it don't make no difference how many times God comes along and pops us. We can't learn. We're that simple. But I want you not only to see the corruption of what our sin is, but I want you to see the measure of grace. These people standing here, they had not been swallowed up. God did not take them under the ground. It was a warning. He said, "I have given you a second chance." And they still were standing there. They had their families. They had their tents. They had their children. They had their homes. They were still being fed. And it was all by the grace of God. They were all sinners. And they need to see that it was all by grace. But it didn't mean a thing to them. In the same way we are today, we've got good lives, we've got, for the most part, we've got pretty good health, and we've got our families, and we've got our homes, and we've got enough money to get by most of us, and some of us, we even got more than we need. We don't understand it by grace, but God has been so good to us, and without grace, we wouldn't even be here today. But we fail to see that. But the second thing concerning Jesus was, I want you to see his compassion. These same men that were ready to strangle Moses and Aaron for what they did, look what Moses and Aaron did. They were under a complete threat for the safety of their life. They were surrounded by these million people. Look what they did. They fell on their faces in prayer. They said, "Lord, we don't hold a grudge against them." We see Jesus Christ in them falling on their face. They had rejected Moses and Aaron. They had despised them. They had turned their faces away from them. They called them every name in the book. They had mistreated them. It's because that Jesus Christ loved them, that he came and died for his people. The same way that Aaron run into the midst of the people, it's because he loved Israel. Jesus Christ loves spiritual Israel. It's amazing to me how Aaron and Moses, they were the offended ones, but yet they had wrong done to them. They were accused by them, but they had compassion on the people. They had a love for the unjust. And just when the cloud of the tabernacle, the light of God's glory come over, the plague started. Old Aaron, he could have stood back there and said, let them have it. Take them all out. They's ready to kill me. They deserve to die. They deserve everything they get. He didn't do that because he forgot their sins and he run in his compassion into the midst of the plague. It's just like Jesus Christ did. In wrath, he remembered mercy. For the love of sinners, he ran into Satan. Oh, Aaron, he could have feared for his life. He could have said, I'm afraid to go in there. I'm afraid I'll get the plague. Whatever's killing them, I'm afraid it's going to kill me. I don't have any reason to go in there and risk my life for them. Remember Jesus Christ, he prayed. He said, "Oh, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But it's not my will, but it's thy will." He said, he ran into the midst. He says, "Whatever the cost, whatever it might take, I'm willing to do that. I'll lay my life down." In the book of Luke, Jesus is telling the disciples. He says, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straightened until it be accomplished?" Jesus Christ, he said, this is a glorious message of my mission here on this earth. And he likens it to baptism. He says, I have something that I have to do, something I have to go into, and be there for a while till I come. And then I'll be raised out of it. Understand so great a sin that we had that caused Jesus to be under the power of death and the grave for a while. It was so great that it caused him to have to die. He had to die on his Father's account because it was his will. But he also had to die because that was the payment for the penalty of our sin. He had to die in our room instead. He surrendered himself into the midst of the plague. He gave himself willingly to his enemies, regardless of the cost. He laid down his life. Jesus could have stood by and said, I don't want to give up my place in glory. I don't want to go down there and let these sinners spit on me, pluck my beard out. I am the Son of the living God. I am the second person of the Trinity. I'll not go down there and let these sinners mistreat me and nail me to a cross. He didn't say the cost is too much, the burden's too heavy. He didn't say the hell's not hot enough for these people. Let them suffer and see what they've done. Instead, he says in the 46 and 47 verse, he said, when Moses told Aaron to run into the midst of the people, he's talking about in the midst of the plague, in the midst of all the sin, he said, go there and bear it. He stood in the gap between death and life. He stood between the dead and the living. He had a place where no other man could stand. Because, he says, the wrath of God had gone out from the Lord. Nobody else could stand in his place. It was necessary that he come. If Aaron had run into the midst of the plague without the censer in his hand, the plague would have slowed. He wouldn't have made it. But he had the proper sacrifice. And this is what we need to understand. The Word of God says that Christ is a propitiation of our sins. He's the accepted sacrifice. He's the only sacrifice. He's the Savior. He's our atonement. And instead of the fire and the incense and his censers, he had the beauties of perfect obedience. He carried into the midst his righteousness. He carried into his the midst of the enemy. He carried his precious blood. The only sacrifice as it was accepted. And when he done that, God could not look away. He could not refuse to take such a perfect sacrifice. It fulfilled all the requirements of the divine law because Jesus Christ offered the perfect sacrifice. You see that Korah's men, all 250 of them, they had censers in their hand. They had fire off of the altar. They had the incense. But every one of them was slain. If they had the proper sacrifice, why were they slain? It's because they were not ordained of God. And you'll see people every day proclaiming, and I've never proclaimed to be a preacher, and I don't guess I ever will. But I hope in my heart that God has called me to preach the gospel. But you'll see people going to schools to become a preacher. You'll see them that one day they're out in the world, and the next day they graduate automatically. I'm a reverend. They got all the censers, but they were still slain. It says only Christ could offer the sacrifice. Only those called by God could offer sacrifice. He was the one that was chosen. He was predestined to be the propitiation for our sin. He came into the world ordained as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And his purpose was to offer himself for our sins. And I hope you can see the sinner's corruption. I hope you can see his compassion. But I want you to see Jesus' mediation for us. He took upon himself our sins and ran and stood between the dead and the living. And I hope that we can understand today that Jesus Christ done it out of his love and mercy. He stands in the power of the everlasting life between the living and the dead itself. And it's only by Jesus Christ, and the only reason he done it was because he was qualified, but it was because his grace and mercy. He is such a powerful God, we don't pretend to be able to order him around and to declare that I'm going to be saved today. It's up to him. It's up to his grace and mercy. And we praise him that we have a feeling in our heart that he had that grace and mercy for us. I hope we never... I don't think we'll ever forget about God, but I hope we never forget about his grace and love and the reason he did what he did. May God bless you is my prayer. I hope something's been said that caused you to think about the glories and the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, not just the fact that he's here and he has blessed us. Announce the Doors Church open reception to members. Ask you to come back next month, bring a friend, and have a song we can sing.
277.
Number 277.
The Lord has been so good to me, I want to sing his praise. I want to glorify his name all my remaining days. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend. Follow in his steps and show my love this way. I want to lift his banner up each fair or cloudy day. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend. And every day I would his truth defend. I want to mingle with his saints and show my love way. I want to lift his banner up in fair or cloudy day. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend. And every day, wherever I be, I would in truth defend. Lord Jesus, will thou mercy show and save me by thy grace, that I may win this life is o'er, look on thy lovely face. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend. And every day, wherever I be, I would his truth defend. And in the land of endless bliss, where all the grace is thine, some humble place at thy dear feet, may this poor sinner find. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend. And every day, wherever I be, I would his truth defend.
Any announcements to be made?
I'd like to invite everyone to be with us next Sunday, please, folks.
First Sunday won't go.
Fourth Sunday won't go long. All hearts and minds are satisfied. Let's look to the Lord and meet his midst. Most holy and gracious God, we again thank thee for this day. We ask you to be around about us, to lift us up in our times of trials and tribulations.
We ask you to be around about our friends and loved ones, O Lord. Be around about Brother Pete Carroll, his devoted companions, having a trial of caring for him. We ask you to be around about him and her. We ask you to be around about Brother Francis. Be around about all those that in our thoughts and minds, dear God, we ask you to be with them. Lift us up, O Lord, guide our footsteps, lead us throughout the times of our lives. Call us to look to thee for our guidance. Gracious God, we ask you to continue to bless us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.